I meant to post problem set 2 on the wiki, but I didn't quite finish it before class, which has created the nightmare scenario of not having any cosmology problems to work on, but I'll do it this afternoon and the nightmare will be over. I'm going to go back to talking about statistics, and I want to just as some general notation. I'm going to be talking about situations. I'm going to be talking about situations where we have a model with some parameters that are always denoted with the Greek letter theta. And given a model or some choice of parameters, there's some data that we can observe, and there'll be some conditional probability distribution that describes how the probability distribution of the data depends on the model parameters. And in lecture last time, I talked about the example of a biased coin where there's only one model parameter, and the data just consists of a single number, the number of heads. But I put an index A here to suggest that there could be more than one model parameter. And you might keep in mind the example that we're going to be interested in is a situation where the model parameters are a vector of cosmological parameters, say the 6 parameters in the standard cosmological model. And the data would consist of an interesting cosmological data set, like the ALMs, a sequence of complex numbers indexed by an integer L and an integer M, observed with a CMB experiment. But I'm going to talk about one more toy example before I start talking about the CMB. And there's more than one way of doing statistics, but I'm going to concentrate for a while on Bayesian analysis, where if you have a realization of the data and you want to determine which model parameters are allowed, you do something like this. First, the Bayesian framework forces you to choose a prior likelihood, which is encoding your assumptions about what the model parameters are before you observe the data. By the way, as far as I can tell in statistics, the term likelihood is just a synonym for a probability distribution. At least I use the two terms synonymously. Then you try to write down or compute the conditional likelihood. Or for a fixed theta, what is the probability distribution on the data values? And then you apply Bayes' theorem to get the posterior likelihood. Formally in this step, you're invoking Bayes' theorem. But the way it works operationally is you take whatever conditional likelihood you wrote down in step 2. When I wrote that down, I was interpreting it as a probability distribution on D for a fixed theta. And then I just take that same functional form and just reinterpret it as a probability distribution on theta for fixed D. At least that's all that would be involved if the prior were a uniform prior, i.e. P of theta were equal to 1 or a constant. If P of theta were more complicated, you would just multiply it in. Now, the denominator in Bayes' theorem just says that after I multiply the prior times the conditional likelihood, then, in order to, before I reinterpret the result as a probability distribution on theta, I should just normalize it so its integral over all theta values is equal to 1. So I'll just write it this way. The proportionality symbol is supposed to indicate that you just normalize it to have integral 1 at the end. In computations, I often use the proportional to notation throughout and drop constants along the way. For example, the prior likelihood doesn't need to be normalized to have integral 1. It's okay if it's just defined up to a multiplicative constant. And then finally, there's usually some sort of interpretation of the likelihood function at the end in order to draw allowed contours in the theta space or somehow interpret the result. I want to do one more toy example before moving on to a cosmological example. And that is the example of curve fitting. And my curve is just going to be a straight line. So suppose that I have some data points. And I want to find the data points with error bars. And I want to find the best fed line that goes through the points. And this is such a common operation that in statistics packages, there's like a button you can press or a function that you can call that will do it for you. But I'll work it out from scratch. And the answer that we'll get will be the actual implementation of that canned function. So this example is going to feel a little bit more like data analysis and analyzing some data values with errors. And it'll also be an example where the model space is multidimensional. And finally, this example is going to motivate the definition of the Fisher matrix, which is what I mostly want to talk about today. So just to define the setup precisely, I'm assuming that I have, so my model parameters will be a two-component vector consisting of the slope A and the intercept B. And my data will be a sequence of points in the xy plane, and also a statistical error on each point. Let's say I have n points, where I decided not to assume that the statistical error was the same for every point. And just to define the setup precisely and make it clear what the assumptions are, I'm assuming that the x values and their statistical error sigma are fixed non-random quantities that don't depend on the model parameters. Which is why, for example, I didn't put error bars on in the x direction. Another implicit assumption is that the model actually describes the data, that there exists some choice of A and B, so that for each point, I from 1 to n, the value of the data yi is equal to axi plus b plus some random error. And finally, I'm going to assume that the errors are Gaussian. That is, that the error is a Gaussian random error with variance sigma I squared. Statistical errors in experiments are often assumed to be Gaussian by default, unless some other error distribution is specified. And that's often true in real experiments because the error is a combination of lots of different random quantities that are added together, and the central limit theorem Gaussianizes the sum. Okay. So if I had some model parameters and I wanted to simulate the data, then xi and sigma I assume are just prescribed from the beginning, and then I would simulate the y's straightforwardly by applying this equation with generating some Gaussian random numbers for the errors. Okay. So let's turn this around. Instead of talking about simulation, where I have some thetas and I simulate a data realization d, let's suppose that I have a realization of the data. So I'm going to use d to denote this data set. Let's assume that I have a realization of the data d, and I want to figure out which model parameters a and b are allowed. So in the Bayesian framework, you might solve that problem like this. First, I'll choose a prior. And for lack of a better choice, I'm going to choose a uniform prior. I'll just assume that the probability of I could denote that by p of theta or p of a comma b is constant or equal to 1. All points in the AB plane are equally likely in the prior. Now, this prior is not a normalizable probability distribution, but that's OK in Bayesian statistics, generally speaking. As commented previously, it's OK if the prior is defined up to a multiplicative constant. There's no need to normalize it. And in particular, it's actually OK if the integral equals infinity, as long as the posterior that you get at the end does turn out to be a normalizable distribution. If you don't like that statement, you could always imagine taking a limit where I take a prior which is uniform over a huge region in the AB plane, much larger than the region of the AB plane that's actually allowed by the data. Okay. Then step two is to compute the conditional likelihood. And so I'll work that out. Given a realization, xi comma yi comma sigma I, I'll compute the probability of getting that realization for a given set of model parameters. So let's see. So in this step, it'll be sort of convenient to introduce a vector notation. If I'm using the vector notation theta a, to put the model parameters a and b into a two-component vector, then it'll also be convenient to introduce this two-component vector of functions. So that I can write the model this way. Vector notation will make things a little more compact compared to a notation where I write things out explicitly like this. And we'll also have the advantage that the analysis would generalize to a case where you're fitting more than two parameters. For example, if you were fitting a quadratic function of x to the data, or a degree d polynomial, all of the equations that I'm going to derive would carry through straightforwardly. You just have n by n matrices, or d by d matrices, instead of 2 by 2 matrices. OK. So with that notation, conditional probability of getting a given data realization or a given set of y's is just obtained as follows. So if I just had one point, then what I would do is if I just had one point, then what I would do is I would draw the line, and then I just need to compute the probability of the noise realization when I add the noise realization to the line of giving me the observed result. And so since the noise is assumed to be Gaussian, I just take our usual formula for the Gaussian PDF and plug in the value of the noise fluctuation, or the difference between the point and the equation of the line that's required. And if I have multiple points, then I just multiply these probabilities together. An assumption that I suppose I should have explicitly stated is that the statistical errors are Gaussian. So these error bars are independent of each other. Things would be more complicated if there were a correlation. OK. And then now in step three, I'm just going to reinterpret, compute the posterior, which just means that I take this expression and I, instead of interpreting it as a probability distribution on the d's or the yi's, given some model parameters, or given the equation of a line, I just turn it around and interpret it as the probability distribution on the parameters of the line, given a realization of the data or a series of points with error bars. And I'm going to do a little bit of algebra in this step to write the results slightly differently. So let me first start. Generally speaking, when I do these calculations, I'm just going to drop multiplicative constants throughout, since Bayes' theorem says that I just have to normalize the whole thing to integral one at the end anyway. So I'm going to start by dropping this constant. Let me also bring the product inside the exp and make it a sum. Then I can anticipate at this point, if I'm now viewing this as a probability distribution on the thetas, I can now anticipate that that probability distribution will be a multivariate Gaussian, since the probability distribution is an exp, and what's inside the exp is quadratic in theta. So let me just do a little algebra to write that. Write that in a way where I can read off the mean and the covariance of the Gaussian. So I'm going to start by expanding out the square and organizing it in powers of theta. This term. Now I'll drop this term because If I'm viewing this as a probability distribution in theta, then for a fixed choice of d, then this term is constant. It doesn't depend on the thetas. When I wrote down, but it wouldn't have been OK if I were thinking about it the other way, if I were thinking of this as a probability distribution on the data, then of course it would not be OK to treat this term as a constant, since it does depend on the data. Similarly, at this step in the calculation, it would not be OK to drop this term, since it depends on the thetas. But it would have been OK to drop this term if I were viewing this, if I were thinking of this as a conditional probability distribution and not keeping track of the overall constant, since it doesn't depend on the realization of the data. OK. Now I'll just define some notation to write this. In this step, I'm using the proportional to symbol, since I did drop a multiplicative constant. So in this step, I've just introduced some definitions to write the result a little more compactly. V is the two-component vector, defined like this, and F is the 2x2 matrix, defined like this. Let me mention in advance that I chose the letter F, since this is a special case of something called a Fisher matrix that I'll define more generally shortly. To just interpret that posterior. And I can observe that it's a multivariate Gaussian. So one way to say it is that if I compare with our previous formula for a multivariate Gaussian, previously we had written the general multivariate Gaussian this way, the probability distribution on for a multivariate random variable theta, it's proportional to theta bar transpose theta minus theta bar. And to put the result in this standard form, I'll just complete the square. So when I completed the square here, I dropped a term like this. And that's OK, since I'm just keeping track of the result up to an overall multiplicative constant. And this term does not depend on the vector theta. So the posterior that we ended up with can be straightforwardly interpreted as a multivariate Gaussian with covariance F inverse. And mean theta bar equals F inverse V. And this is a standard result in statistics textbooks. And it's what's implemented if you use a standard line fitting procedure or curve fitter, and you ask it to report its best fit parameters with their statistical errors. The curve fitter would actually literally compute this matrix, this 2x2 matrix F, this 2x1 vector V, and take the best fit line to be given by F inverse V. And the covariance in general will be, so there'll be some best fit set of parameters A and B. And there'll be some associated 2x2 covariance matrix, which is not necessarily diagonal. Depending on the values of xi and their statistical errors sigma I, there will generally be some non-zero correlation between the parameters A and B. Warming up with toy examples because it sort of shows how Bayesian analysis, once you get used to it, is really kind of a mechanical process. I want to go on to cosmological examples yet, next. First, I want to tell you about something called the Fisher matrix, which I'm going to talk about for the next lecture or two. And this is a very the Fisher matrix is a very general object that is ubiquitous in cosmology. By my estimation, there are something like 100 papers, cosmology papers on the archive per year that are primarily concerned with computing Fisher matrices. I've personally written a couple papers like that. So I'm going to tell you what this matrix is and why cosmologists are so obsessed with it. So in this general setup where we have some model parameters and some random data D, you might be interested, generally speaking, if you're doing data-oriented work, you might be interested in one of three tasks. One is simulation. I want to distinguish between these three things. So given a model, or set of parameters theta A, simulate a random data realization D. In the case where the thetas are cosmological parameters and the data D are the ALMs of the CMB, or an all-sky CMB map, we talked about how you would do this. What you would do in that context is first there would be an intermediate step where you would compute CLs. And of course, you would do that with a canned software package, CAMB or class. You would plug in the cosmological parameters, run one of these standard community software packages, and it would give you the CLs of the CMB. And then if you want to simulate the ALMs, we talked about how you do that for a Gaussian random field. You take the real or an imaginary part of each ALM to be a Gaussian random variable with variance either CL or CL over 2. There's analysis where the arrows are sort of reversed given a data realization D. And no preferred realization of no preferred set of model parameters. What are the constraints? On the thetas. And the third possibility that comes up a lot is forecasting. So forecasting is like predicting the constraints that you'll get from an experiment that hasn't been done yet. And generally in forecasting, you do need some rough idea of what the true model parameters are. So forecasting will formally require a preferred or fiducial model, set of model parameters. expected constraints? From a typical realization of the data. Typical D. We've talked about analysis, this Bayesian framework that we just talked about, but we haven't really talked about forecasting yet. And the Fisher matrix is a tool for forecasting. So the way I'll write down the definition next, and the way the definition is going to work is that for given a point or a fiducial model in the model space, the Fisher matrix is a 2 by 2, an n by n matrix where n is the dimension of the space. That in general will have some dependence on where you are in the model space. And let me say in advance that it'll be both interesting and practically useful to view the Fisher matrix as a metric on the parameter space. And so I've been and apply like GR-like concepts, which is why I've in advance put all the indices in the right place, like why I always denote the coordinates on the model space with an upper index up and the components of the Fisher matrix with lower indices. Now, the definition of the Fisher matrix is as follows. So this is a really general definition that will apply for any type of data as long as you can write down the conditional probability distribution that tells you the probability of occurrence of data realization D given model parameter standard. Here's the definition. Motivating the definition is kind of non-trivial, so I want to but let me just write it down first. So here's how it works. I compute, I write down the conditional probability of the data given the model. And then I take the Hessian matrix, or the matrix of second derivatives on the model space. And then I evaluate that at the fiducial model where I want to do my forecast or compute the Fisher matrix. So now I'll have this, but the result is not supposed to require, since I'm forecasting, the result is not supposed to require a preferred realization of the data. So generally speaking, if I compute this Hessian matrix, I'll have some matrix that depends both on theta fid and on a realization of the data D. And to remove the dependence on the data D, I take an expectation value over realizations of the data, where that expectation value is taken over realizations of data of the data assuming the fiducial model parameters. Another way of writing it would be like this. Where I compute this Hessian matrix, which will depend on both D and theta, and then I integrate out D using the conditional probability distribution, or I average over D using the conditional probability distribution. Now the interpretation, so that's a formal definition that's super general and makes sense for any continuous model parameter space theta A, and for any type of data D whose random distribution depends on the thetas. And the interpretation is as follows. The Fisher matrix is supposed to be, let me describe the interpretation a little informally first. So if I invert the Fisher matrix, and interpret F inverse as a covariance matrix. And then, it's supposed to be my model space. And I draw the error ellipses on the model space with the with covariance matrix F inverse. Then, the error ellipses of that multivariate Gaussian, a multivariate Gaussian with covariance matrix F inverse, are a forecast for the allowed region that you'll get, which in general might be non-Gaussian. If you do the Bayesian data analysis for a typical realization of the data, so this is like a forecasted inverse covariance matrix on the model space. For a typical realization of the data. So I will come back. Oh no, my board arrangement has been thrown into chaos. I can't raise this. Right over here.
So, could you? I just don't understand this last point. Could you explain again what you're drawing with the ellipses and how this relates to it?
Yeah. So imagine that. Imagine that we're in the curve fitting example. Just to specify things precisely, let's imagine that in the curve fitting example, the x values xi and the statistical errors sigma I have been specified. But I don't actually have the y's yet. So I haven't done the experiment yet, but I know where I'm going to measure, and I know what statistical errors I expect. If I compute the Fisher matrix, I'll get some 2x2 matrix on the model space, where the rows and columns of this matrix correspond to the coordinates on the model space, so the parameters A and B. If I invert that matrix, I'll get a covariance matrix. Let's see, F inverse. I'm actually going to do this calculation next. I'll calculate the Fisher matrix in the curve fitting example. I claim that, and generally speaking, if I have a covariance matrix, if I have a 2x2 covariance matrix on the model space, I can use the formula for a multivariate Gaussian to draw error ellipses corresponding to that covariance matrix. And this is the same picture we had before, where the extent of the ellipse in the two directions is given by the square roots of the variances or the diagonal elements of the covariance matrix, and the tilt or diagonalness of the ellipse is controlled by the off-diagonal element. I claim, although I haven't really justified this claim yet, that this is a forecast for the constraints that you will get on the model space when you do the experiment and have a realization of the data. So let me just, that's the next calculation that I was going to do, is computing the Fisher matrix for the curve fitting example and showing that it's consistent with the Bayesian analysis that we did before. So in the curve fitting example, we worked out the conditional probability of a data realization or a set of y values given some thetas. And wrote the result this way. So let me just compute the Fisher matrix. I guess before I compute the Fisher matrix, let me take the log here. When I take the log of the 2 pi's, I'll get some overall constant. The 2 pi sigma squared, so I'll get some overall constant that won't be important. OK. So plugging into the definition of the Fisher matrix. So to compute the Fisher matrix, I need to take the Hessian of this. With a minus sign. The Hessian of log p, and then average over realizations of the data. So I'll go over here. Let's see, so if I take the Hessian of log p, then only the term, if I expand this out, only the term with 2 thetas survives. And that will look like we go ahead just for better blackboard layout, we'll just repeat that. Take the Hessian of that. Keep the sum over I. I guess there's a minus sign here that will cancel the outer minus sign. In this example, the step where I take the expectation value over realizations of the data is a trivial step. If the result here had depended on the y's, then I would take an expectation value over the Gaussian probability distribution of the y's. And in general, when you compute the Fisher matrix, and I'll do an example where this expectation value step will be non-trivial. The Hessian matrix will depend on the data realization d. But in this example, it turns out that it doesn't. Here's what I get. And it is indeed the same matrix that we called F before. And we showed when we interpreted the posterior that F is the inverse covariance matrix of the error ellipses on the model parameter space. So this example is sort of a check that this interpretation is justified in the curve fitting example. Now, in general, what would happen is that, so in this example, it works perfectly, and the Fisher forecasting machinery works perfectly in that if I had a realization of the data, when I have a realization of the data, I'll get a Gaussian error ellipse. And the forecast is perfect in the sense that if I did the forecast without a realization of the data, I would predict an error ellipse that agrees perfectly with what I will actually get. Now, in a more complicated data set, like the CMB, the Fisher forecast is an approximation where the true, if you have a realization of the data, the picture might look more like this. I have some fiducial model, and if I do my Fisher forecast, I'll predict some ellipse of constraints. And if I actually simulate a realization of the data and then do the Bayesian analysis, I'll get some other allowed region. And that might be non-Gaussian, which is why I've drawn it like a banana instead of like an ellipse. And it also generally will be shifted so that it's not on top of the true model parameters. You expect the best fit recovered parameters to disagree with the true parameters by about 1 sigma on average. But there's a theorem called the Bayesian central limit theorem that says that as you keep adding data, the Fisher, these contours will agree better and better. So sometimes the term Fisher approximation is used to mean the approximation that the true posterior is the forecasted Gaussian covariance predicted by the Fisher matrix. And so what will happen is if I do one simulated experiment, I might get an ellipse like this. And then if I do a second simulated experiment and multiply it into the posterior, then I'll get some new distribution that will agree more accurately with the Fisher forecast. And if I take many independent simulated copies of the same experiment, then the result will agree very precisely with the Fisher matrix forecast in a picture that's sort of analogous to the central limit theorem when we were talking about that previously. I'm going to prove the Bayesian central limit theorem, but I decided to save it for later after we've seen more examples of the Fisher matrix. But for sort of operational purposes, if you're interested in forecasting, then you should think of the Fisher matrix as predicting the error ellipses that you will get when you do an experiment. And for a single simulated experiment, that prediction is a little imperfect. It's an approximation. But it's an approximation that becomes more and more accurate as you accumulate more data. Okay. So we only have 10 minutes left, but there might not be enough time. Well, I don't like stopping in the middle of a calculation. So next I'm going to do more examples of Bayesian analysis, Bayesian likelihoods, and the Fisher matrix. But in cosmological contexts, I'll be talking about the power spectrum and the ALMs of the CMB. The next calculation will take more than 10 minutes, and I don't like to stop in the middle of a calculation. So I'll just stop here for today and pick up next time.